Psalms 9, and then we want to go to Luke chapter 17, and trust that the Lord will help us today. Amen. Got a lot of things to talk to you about. Psalms 9, and starting at verse 15, reading down the rest of that psalm. Amen. Yeah, the verse, amen. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands, Hegion and Selah. And the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. We'll talk to you about what that Selah and Hegion means after a while. But first of all, let's go and read Luke chapter 17. And we want to start at verse 26 and read down several verses here. Very, very, very familiar verses of Scripture, which everyone here, I'm sure, is familiar with. Verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Verse 32, very simple, three words. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in the bed. One shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding together, and the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. They answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you from these verses out of Psalms and also out of Luke this morning, if the Lord will help us for our lesson today. And I could just title it, Are We Close to the End? Are we close? That's a question. And you could answer that question yourself, probably. Are we close to the end? Or how close to the end are we? I want to tell you, I believe that this is probably the most wicked generation that we have in America that I can remember in my lifetime. I'm not a young chicken, but I'm not an old codger either. But I think that probably This is one of the most wicked generations I've ever seen. I read to you out of the book of Psalms 9, and the Bible said in that verse 15, I want to go back to this chapter 9 of Psalms, if you will. Verse 15 said, the heathen are sunk down in the pit. I wanted to get a little better picture. So in searching to find out what this word pit means, you see, it's not the eternal pit. The Bible said here, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. Amen. That they made, that the heathen themselves have made. So in searching, amen, I found out that it means a deep place, a dungeon, or their own sin. That makes it much plainer, and we can understand a little better. They are sunk down into their own sinful ways. And God takes note of the wickedness of man. And when you read the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, in the days of Noah, the Bible said, God saw the wickedness of man and that his heart was on evil continually. And that's the condition that we are living in America right now. Amen. In verse 16 of this Psalms 9, he said, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. In the work of his own hands. Amen. I pondered over that this week a little bit, and I thought to myself that all wicked men or persons or individuals, amen, really the work that they do, the life that they live, is really a work against themselves. Amen. And they're digging their own pit deeper. Amen. The sinner takes more pains to destroy his own life than a righteous man does in to save his own soul and gain eternal life in the process. I mean, tell you, you have to work at sin. And not only work at sin, sin will work you and dig the hole that you're in much deeper. Amen. And then that verse 16 finishes up by that word hygion. And it means to stop and meditate about this. Amen. The idea is for man to think on the end of the wicked. Amen. Stop and think where you're going to wind up. Stop and think about it. Now, the devil doesn't want you to do that. Amen. He wants you to just keep digging this pit deeper all the time. And eventually, your life will be gone and over without a chance to pray. Amen. But God wants you to stop and think. Hey, how am I doing? How am I living? What's it going to gain me? What is the end result? Amen. And, amen, that word hygion is, God wants you to stop. Amen. Now, you are aware. I don't have to tell a sinner how bad he is. He knows how bad he is. Amen. But you need to stop and think. Amen. About your life. Amen. It's so short. And it's short at its longest. If you was to live to be 80, 90, 100 years old, life is still short. You need to think about that in comparison to eternity. And then he uses the word Selah. And that is a pause. Amen. Give time for this thought about the wickedness of man to sink in. Amen. You know, David in one of the other Psalms, he said, My feet had well nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Amen. I looked at their prosperity and I saw how well they were doing. Amen. And everything, they was getting along fine and all was well. But he said, until I went into the house of the Lord and saw therein. Amen. And that's what the enemy of your soul does not want you to see. What the end of the wicked are. Amen. What the end of the sinner is. Amen. And psalmist here in this Psalm 9 wants you. God is talking to every human being. Amen. Sin makes you dig a horrible, deep pit that you cannot even get out of yourself. And the longer you sin and the bigger your habits, the deeper the hole gets and the deeper the pit is until you cannot help yourself. You don't have enough willpower to stop. Amen. You're digging in the hole. It's, amen. It's a hopeless pit that you're digging in. But there is a hope. There is a remedy. Amen. The Lord, Jesus Christ, can break the chain of sin, bring you up out of the horrible pit. Matter of fact, the psalmist said, the Lord, brought me up also out of a horrible pit and set my feet on the highway. Praise God. Amen. And you can't help yourself. You can't stop your habits. You can't change your lifestyle because you're in that pit that you have dug by your habits and your sin. Amen. But Jesus can bring you up out of that horrible pit. Amen. And make you a changed individual. Some of you that are here this morning know what you were before God saved you. You sure don't want to go back to that life. Amen. He got you out of the horrible pit and set you on this highway. Thank God for it. And you sure don't want to go back to that life in that horrible pit that you dug. Amen. And the Lord got you out of. Amen. And my friend, if you're not saved this morning, amen, the Lord Jesus can get you out of that pit. Amen. And set your feet on the highway of holiness, going to that celestial city. Praise God. Amen. Verse 17, it said, the wicked, I want you to get this, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Amen. The wicked. Amen. I want to tell you, somebody said, well, I've lived my life so far and I'm doing fine. But the end, you got to wait till the end. The wages of sin is death. The end result, you may live a long life in this world. Amen. But you've got to meet God. You got to face God in judgment day. Amen. And that judgment day is going to determine where you spend eternity. Amen. The wicked shall be turned into hell. Amen. And all nations that forget God. Amen. I want to give you some facts this morning about other nations that at one time knew God. Amen. And have turned away from the Lord. And some of this information that I'm going to give to you this morning, amen, was from Christian Law Association some years ago now. Amen. But I want to tell you, America at one time was a Christian nation as a whole. Amen. But look where our culture has brought us here and now. Amen. And the last verse, verse 20 of Psalms 9 said, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Amen. Send them some terror so as to keep the nations humble and show man how frail and helpless he really is without God. I want to tell you, without God, amen, America is in a pitiful state of affairs. Amen. Somebody said, well, I just want to be God neutral. Amen. It's impossible. It's impossible to be God neutral. In the book of Jude, in one verse in the book of Jude, five times it mentions and uses the word godless. Godless. That means no God. No God. Neutral. No God. But then he talks about the ungodly. Godlessness leads to ungodliness. Amen. And you cannot stop that process. Amen. If you're not for God, you are against God. Amen. I remember reading about John and Charles Wesley and George Whitefield many years ago. They were powerful men in their day. Amen. And they were made fun of. The news media called them Bible moths, Bible bigots, called them the Holy Club. Amen. Because it was their constant endeavor to think and speak as the oracles of God. In John Wesley's sermon of Christian perfection, he talked about loving God with an undivided heart. Boy, does this generation in America need that. Loving God with an undivided heart. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Amen. And when John Wesley Charles Wesley and George Whitefield left England and sailed the sea to America, amen, this was their first principle. When they got to America, amen, they said this was their first endeavor, their first motive, their first intention was to attack all wickedness and sin. Boy, amen, isn't that a far distant, how can I say here? Amen, that is a far distant thinking of American culture now. Amen. Even American pulpits don't want you to mention sin. Sin is a reproach to any people. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen. I ask you a question at the beginning here this morning. Is this or could this be, amen, the last generation, amen, that we here in America really know as, amen, anything about God? I want you to remember the characteristics and conditions of the world that was just before Noah's day. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke chapter 17 that I've read to you. Amen. And also just before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, what was the conditions? Amen. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage, they were building, they were rebuilding. Amen. And they drank, they bought, they sold. Is that not the condition in America right now? Amen. I remember, and I've got some information here. I want to just share with you this morning. Amen. The Bible said, amen, everybody that forgets God shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God as well. Amen. The history tells us a story. Some of you might remember reading in when you went to school about the Maya, M-A-Y-A people. Today they live a very primitive condition. And with disease and poverty and ignorance, they're very, very primitive people. They live in primitive conditions now. But in the 4th century, amen, 4th century A.D., their forefathers, Mayan people's forefathers, developed a civilization marked by spectacular achievements in astronomy, in mathematics, in architecture, Amen. In art, they were a notable modern civilization. The Mayas constructed a great chain of cities through the rainforest of what is now Mexico, and engineers connected those cities with wide paved roads. Skilled artists drew pictures and wood carvings of their daily work and their daily life. Amen. The Mayan astronomers invented an intricate calendar that is more accurate than any in Europe and recorded celestial courses and eclipses, even to the extent that they developed a model aircraft that was found to exceed the modern aerodynamics of modern man. I want to tell you, amen, they were a brilliant people with a brilliant mind. Amen. How did they know all this? Because when they opened the tombs of some of those pyramids down in Mexico and on down further south, even through Central America, they found this model aircraft that was built centuries ago in the 4th century. Amen. Of these Mayan people, and they had drawings of their cities and all that they had accomplished in those pyramids. Amen. What happened to that civilization? Amen. The world wonders. The world yet wonders what happened until we learn about the culture of those people. What happened to them? They were modern. They had modern cities. They had modern roads. They had built even an aircraft. Amen. They had everything modern that you and I have today. Amen. What happened? Amen. Until you learn of the conditions of their culture and how it degraded. Amen. They became a very immoral culture. Amen. Murder and greed and human sacrifices marked their final days of existence. Amen. Help me here. And yet we wonder, where is America going to? What's going to happen to our own culture? Amen. We've got modern cities. We've got paved highways. We got interstate highways. We got fine aircraft. We have architecture that exceeds anything and that America, you know, in our modern times. Amen. And yet the Mayans did too. Amen. Are not we going down the same road as the previous cultures? Our immoral condition in America is at its all-time high. Wickedness, crime, amen, is at its all-time high. We are heading in the same direction as the previous civilizations before us. Amen. Our Bible, amen, that we read was translated from the Greek. Amen. The Greek culture at one time was the most notable and learned of all civilizations. Amen. In the height of their time. Amen. But they were eventually a civilization that rejected God. They got to where they worshiped the creature more than the creator. Amen. They worshiped the human body. They worship the human mind. Is not America going down the same road? Amen. The basic philosophy of Greece was, man is the measure of all things. Man is the final utopia. Amen. Man and not God is the relative. Amen. Don't need God. Don't want God. Don't want any absolutes. Don't want anything that says this is right and this is wrong. Amen. Man is relative and everything in life is relative and changeable. And we have to change with the time. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And in Greece, in their culture, only the strong survived. Amen. The deformed, help me, I'm in trouble. I'm probably getting in real trouble this morning. The deformed and the weak children, amen, and the handicapped were hurled from cliffs and abandoned by their fathers and kinfolks to die. The human body was idolized. A man could not, if he could not swim, if he could not wrestle, if he could not play in the Colosseums, he was scorned. Sports was king. Amen. They developed what they called the gladiators in their Colosseums for sport. Amen. And that was later adopted by the Romans, which I want to talk to you about in a little while. Amen. But the Greeks, amen, they were a brilliant mind. Amen. And I've been to Greece. I've been to Athens several times. And I've seen the culture, amen, in that country even yet today. It is one of the most immoral countries I have ever been to. Amen. The nudity, amen, nude statues and statues of the human body are for sale in the windows, amen, in graphic forms and wicked nudity such as you would be shocked at if you even saw a picture of, amen. And that condition existed, and that's what brought the Greek, amen, empire to naught and destroyed it. Amen. Help me here. Are y'all still with me? Say amen. Immorality in Greece increased. The human mind became supreme. The Greeks searched for knowledge. Amen. It was unending. They wanted knowledge and more knowledge and become smarter than ever. Amen. And that desire produced the skeptics and the cynics and the stoics and the Epicureans. Amen. It was Greek scholars who laid the foundation for the study of biology. Amen. And physiology and the anatomy of the human body. Amen. Their attempt to integrate body ills with the psyche and with the brain was beginning the beginning of psychiatry. Amen. The Athenians also taxed, financed. Amen. Had a tax. They taxed and they taxed and they taxed and they had a tax that, amen, that financed their Medicare, what we would presently call Medicare. And when you got in, amen, a physical condition, you went to their doctors or head shrinkers and they would diagnose you and give you some potion. Amen. Help me here. Amen. And soon the government became a bureaucracy that was bound by red tape, amen, and taxation. And at one time, there was 218 different taxes. Amen. There was even a tax on tax receipts. Amen. They taxed everything that they could find to tax. And God's judgment, amen, finally came upon the Greek civilization. Amen. Just as I read to you out of the book of Psalms, chapter 9, amen, and verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Amen. And that's exactly what the Greeks did. They put man above God. Man became God. He became his own God. Amen. And I want to tell you, is that not where we're at in America? Amen. Right here now, we are taxing. They are taxing everything that can be taxed. Amen. They're instituting a tax. Come on, I'm talking to y'all this morning. A tax system that's going to tax your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Amen. Until the national debt is so, amen, steep and high and beyond measure that you cannot even imagine how much money. Amen. Come on here. The tax revenue is going to have to pay the debt. That's where we are in America. In our culture, the immorality in our culture is going the same way of the Mayans, amen, and the Greeks, help me here, amen, and we're going down the same road, amen. It seems like that somebody said this one time, and they are so right. If history teaches us anything, it doesn't teach us nothing. Amen. We don't read history. We don't think about history. We don't. Are y'all still with me? Our American culture, amen, is only interested in the here and now. Amen. What pleasure I have in my body right now. Amen. And we're heading down the same road, amen, of destruction that the civilizations before us went. Woo! The Romans finally destroyed the Grecian Empire and took it over. The Romans became a great world power. The Roman Empire went all the way up and took in part of, all of England and part of the British Isles, didn't get up into Scotland, up in the northern section of Ireland. Amen. But it took in England, it took in northern Europe. It took in all the Eastern European nations. It took in the Middle East of Iraq and Jordan and Israel and all those countries. It took in those countries in northern Africa. At one time, the Roman Empire was the biggest, largest empire in the world. Amen. But the wealthy Romans hired Greeks. Here was their downfall. They hired Greeks to teach their children. Amen. And they not only taught them mathematics and all that they knew as far as academics is concerned, but the Greeks taught their children, amen, the national sin of Greece that brought the Grecian Empire down. Amen. And God destroyed it because of sodomy in Greece. And the Grecian teachers taught the Roman children, amen, their great sin. Amen. Is not America going down the same road of sodomy? Amen. That the Grecians went down. Are y'all still with me? Amen. We are going down the same immoral road of adultery and fornication and sex sins has taken our culture. You can't turn the radio on to even a news station without there being some, are y'all still with me? Amen. Some graphic commercial come on in between breaks. Amen. That talks about sex. Amen. The TV is saturated with sex. The internet. Amen. The internet is saturated with sex and pornography. Is not American minds going in the same direction as the previous generations were in other cultures? And the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And soon the high moral standards which made the Roman Empire a great nation and the greatest military power of their time were corrupted and the entire Roman Empire fell. In Rome, citizens complained about housing shortages, soaring prices. Is there a parallel between where America's going? Soaring rent, congestion, polluted air, high crime, high cost of living, high taxes. Same road that the Greeks went down, the Romans are going down. Amen. They got to where they had to find something to tax in order to get more revenue into the Roman government. So they counted how many trees you had on your property and taxed you on every tree that you had. amen, trying to get more revenue. Aren't they taxing everything that you got in your possession yet today? Are we near the end? Come on here. Somebody say amen. Amen. I read in the encyclopedia this morning. Amen. I read in the World Book Encyclopedia about Rome. Amen. They fixed wages and prices. Are we not doing the same thing? Amen. Amen. And in Rome, the taxation and wages working in the factories got so absorbent and people could not live by it until the encyclopedia said people fled to the farm so they could raise their own food and live. Amen. And the government of Rome tried to, amen, coax the people to go back to the cities and work in the factories. Amen. And to solve the unemployment problem, Rome created a multitude of civil jobs. Get this? Amen. Civil jobs instituted by the government. Amen. Building inspectors, health inspectors, tax collectors. Come on here. Amen. Everybody was wound up working for the government that lived in the cities in some form or fashion. Amen. That's where America is headed. Listen to these politicians that hadn't got a brain in their head. Amen. There, before it's over, everybody's going to be working for the government and drawing a check from the government in some form or fashion. Amen. But as Rome was, so America is heading that away. Amen. In Rome, the breakdown came. They had so much leisure time. Amen. It produced entertainment. The moral breakdown, which produced families being dissolved. Immorality. And again, sodomy and sports. Come on here. Somebody say amen. And drugs and anti-Christian philosophy and eventually persecution of all Christians until, amen, y'all stay with me, until Constantine finally took the throne in Rome, amen, and Rome finally, amen, was overcome by the Goths, amen, because of their immorality and are y'all stay with me? Amen. They didn't have enough of military men. They were scattered all over the world. Amen. And they finally had to hire, amen, some of these tribal people, amen, to try to keep law in certain areas. And the breakdown came. I want to tell you, America's military is stretched thin. Amen. Until we probably, come on, y'all stay with me. We are in war in Afghanistan. We are in war in Iraq. We've got military. Amen. In Germany. Come on, y'all stay with me. We got military in Europe. We got military in the Middle East. We got military all over the world. We got military in Japan yet. Amen. Amen. And if America was invaded by a military force that was capable, we wouldn't have enough military to protect our own soil. Amen. And that was the exact condition that existed during the Roman Empire. Amen. And the military was saturated with immorality and sodomy. Amen. That they had no heart to defend. I want to tell you, America's heading the same direction, and we've got to have a revival in our country. I lost some of y'all here this morning. Amen. As Rome went, America is going. As Greece went, America is heading down the same road. As the Mayan civilization went, amen, so we are heading in the... Somebody said, we are a great nation. Amen. Nobody can destroy America. Amen. We might have the military might, amen, to protect us from Russia. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Or from China. But who's going to protect us from the wrath of God? Amen. God said, amen, the wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. Amen. America, come on here. America, wake up. America, go back to our knees. America, realize that our help comes from the Lord, not from Washington, D.C. Amen. Washington's not going to bring a revival. Washington is not going to give us what we need. If we get a revival and return to principles, it'll be because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ comes alive. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Woo! Let's come to America. Let's look at the history of America. They don't even teach this in school anymore, in the public school. The very purpose of the Pilgrims in 1620, amen, was to establish a government based on the Bible. They don't teach that in public school. Read, I don't know whether you have or not, but if you haven't, it's good reading. Go back and read the New England Charter, signed by King James, of which the King James version of our Bible, come on here. Amen. King James signed this. He said, I confirm this goal to advance, amen, the enlargement of Christian religion to the glory of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. You won't hear that in public school. Amen. The goal of a government based on the Bible was further reaffirmed by individual colonies. 13 colonies, such as the Rhode Island Charter of 1638. And I quote, we submit our persons, lives, and estates unto our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and to all those perfect and most absolute laws of his given us in his holy word. Hallelujah. That was the reason and the purpose that America was even brought into existence, was for the glory of God Almighty. Help me here. Amen. The rapid and complete disintegration of the family in America is the most devastating symptom, amen, of a dying nation right here. You don't have to go back any further in history than look at American culture and what we started out to be and what we are. Amen. We are a godless nation as a whole. Even, come on here, even churches, amen, that some of their children were raised up in our churches as children. Come on here. Amen. And they will tell you now, I don't care what the Bible says. Amen. I'll do what I feel like I want to do. And they are. Amen. The breakdown of American culture, amen, was just as it was in the days of Noah and of Lot. They were marrying. They were given in marriage. That means they were divorcing and marrying again and divorcing and marrying again. Divorcing and marrying again. Amen. They were marrying, giving in marriage, eating and drinking, building and rebuilding. Come on here. And knew it not until the flood came and destroyed them all. Amen. America, wake up. America, let's go to our knees. America, let's come to revival. Whatever it takes, God, we've got to have a move of the Holy Ghost. Well, how close to the end are we? Could this be the last generation in America? Could this be the last generation? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I know I haven't painted you a good picture this morning of the future, but I'm telling you, I'm trying to wake up the American church people. Even our own church people are sleeping. And they don't want to be bothered. They don't want to be stirred. Come on here. Leave me alone, preacher. I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying my pleasure. I've got things to do. I got places to go. I got people to see. Hey, man, I don't have time for church. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the Bible. Hey, man, I got pleasurable places I want to go. I deserve, come on here. Hey, man, I deserve pleasure. I've worked hard. Hey, man, I've worked my fingers to the bone. Hey, man, but I got to have some time off. Hey, man, what happened to prayer? What happened to seeking the face of God? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But we have a generation in the church, even in America, our holiest churches, that we are so busy and preoccupied. We don't have time for church. We don't have time for God. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to read His Word. And we forget, amen, come on here. We forget what this nation was founded on. It's supposed to be for the glory of God and not for the pleasure of man. Woo! I'm about done. I don't know how long I preach, son. I want to tell you, this church needs a revival. We need a revival of souls being saved. Lost people finding the avenue to the altar. We need a revival, come on here, of new blood finding Jesus Christ as precious to their soul. We need a revival of the saints, amen, that have gone cold and indifferent, amen, and have no desire for spiritual things. And it's just like, amen, somebody said, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to do my own thing. Go ahead. And America will wind up like Rome and wind up like Greece and wind up like the Mayans. Hey, man, that had a civilization that was as modern as anybody's. And yet, come on here. Hey, man, their immorality took them down. Hey, man. God help us. Are y'all still with me? I remember. Praise God. Woo. Memory can be a wonderful thing. I remember. I'm trying to think what year it was, and some of y'all may remember the great revival we had. Matter of fact, when Ricky prayed through. What year was that, son? 1995. Amen. What a revival we had. Glory to God. I'm ready for another one. Praise God. Are y'all still with me? Say amen. What a revival there came. Amen. We didn't have the new facilities that we got now. We didn't have a nicer pews as what we got now. Are y'all still with me? Amen. We didn't have nice restrooms as we got now. Amen. When we started here, we had outside toilets. Does anybody remember them? And my wife went out to one of them one night. Amen. And there was a big long snake in there and she come running out. Woo! Help me, Lord. We got better than we've ever had. We got nicer than we've ever had. Are y'all still with me? Oh, but where is our God? Where is our desire for God? Where is our relationship with God? Amen. We've got to return to the principles of righteousness. In 1995, in that great revival, amen, hallelujah, just started like any other revival, amen. I don't know, oh God help me here this morning, y'all stay with me. I don't know, amen, that we did anything than what we had done for other revivals, amen, but God got in the middle of it. When God gets in the middle of it, are y'all still with me? things happen and things change. Glory be to the Lamb of God. Amen. I think it was I can't remember whether it's the second or third night of that revival. Amen. We just ordinary service. Praise God. Good revival service. Good service is wonderful service, but nothing supernatural or unusual took place. The second or third revival, and I wrote it down somewhere. I hunted for it this morning. I couldn't find. Amen. The Holy Ghost spoke in tongues and interpretation in that service. And I can't remember the exact quotation. Amen. I wrote it down because I wanted to remember it and I couldn't find it this morning. Amen. But the Holy Ghost said, this is your day of visitation. Amen. I will visit my people in this revival. Stir yourselves, saints of God, for I, the Lord, will do a fresh work among you. Praise God. Help me here. I'm preaching to y'all this morning. America needs a revival. And it needs to start in the church. It needs to start in the local church. And when the Holy Ghost got through speaking that night, amen, we dismissed in a little while and went home. But little did we know just how great an outpouring, amen, would come in that revival meeting. Amen, the next night it began. Glory to God. Young people started pouring in the altar. We had got to where we didn't have enough young people saved, amen, to hardly have a good quartet, let alone a choir. Amen, backsliders. Are y'all still with me? Hey, amen, but they started pouring in the altar. Amen, is the greatest move of God, amen, that I can remember in my modern time. Glory to God. I believe Brother Roy, if I remember right, Brother Roy said it's the greatest move of God he had ever seen. And he told his children, said, remember this. Praise God. Amen. Don't forget, this revival is an unusual meeting. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And time wouldn't permit me this morning to tell everything that happened. But conviction fell. We didn't have the new addition. We didn't have this nice carpet. We had the old green carpet. Y'all remember? Amen. And the old wooden pews. Amen. Oh, we came up the steps over here on this side. And there was a partition across the building there, and right where that door is over there. And that's as far back as this building went. Amen. Help me here. Ah, but when young people started falling in the altars, conviction fell. Amen. Glory to God. It fell in such a powerful way that sinners came in late, could not and would not sit more than 3 to 5 minutes. Amen. Come on here. Amen. Without beginning to sob and weep and to pray. Amen. Some fell in their seats back here as they came up the stairs. Amen. And fell down at the altars. Glory to God. I want to tell you, God's still real. In 2009, it'll break out again. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, God said, I'll do it again. Woo! 4 and 5 and 6. Every night got saved. Sometimes, amen, there wouldn't be no preaching at all. Amen, just the power of God fell. Amen, 5 and 6 and 7 every night would receive the Holy Ghost. And before it was over, I think 37 or 8 got saved. Amen, and 34 or 5 got the Holy Ghost. Amen, that's what happens when God gets in the middle of it. Somebody say amen. It just fell. Glory to God. Help me. I'm feeling better here this morning. Amen. We had trash cans. Amen. And they brought in their sinful habits. Woo! Amen. They brought in the rock and roll tapes. They brought in the country western tapes. It's tapes in those days. Didn't have any CDs. Amen. Amen. They brought in their contemporary so-called gospel tapes. Amen. They brought in boxes of books of all kinds. Filthy books. Are y'all still with me? Love magazines. Amen. Help me. Oh, amen. Movie stars and rock star magazines. Amen. They brought in boxes and boxes. Amen. Pornography stuff. Amen. They brought in posters that had been hanging in their homes or in their, amen, bedrooms. Amen. They brought in playing cards. They brought in jewelry and rings. Are y'all still with me? Say amen. And they brought in earrings and all kinds, amen, of trash of this world. Amen. One young lady, and I can tell you who she was because I remember it. Amen. Brought in a bottle of wine. Amen. And put it in the trash can. They brought in shorts. They brought in immodest clothing by the bags. Amen. Families got rid of their TVs and videos. Praise God. Amen. There was public confessions made. Amen. And some asked forgiveness for the way that they had treated others. Revival fire was burning. Praise God. Amen. By the time the meeting was over, amen, we had two, amen, steel 55-gallon barrels full, amen, of worldly stuff and trash that was brought in. Amen. Come on here. And that's beside the TVs, amen, that was brought and burned. What a burning inferno. Brother Mac came over to my house, amen, and helped me burn that stuff in those 2 55-gallon steel drums. Amen. It got to burning such an inferno. Amen. Those barrels got red hot all the way through from the top to the bottom. And I was wondering if the barrel, steel barrel, was going to melt. Amen. And it got to huffing and puffing. Amen. With such velocity. I said, burn, baby, burn. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Woo! I want to tell you, God's still real. We can have another revival like that. Not only can we, we've got to have another revival like that. We've got to have a burning fire burning in the middle of our soul. God, give us a desire, amen, for souls to be saved. And they started getting the Holy Ghost. Woo! Glory to God. Are y'all still with me? Does anybody remember any of this? Praise God. If you remember it, raise your hand. Praise God. Amen. Ricky. Praise God. My grandson. This fine-looking young man here. Praise God. At least his wife thinks he's looking. Amen. Hey. Amen. Laying on the back. On his back. On this floor. Right down here. With him. Both hands and both feet straight up in the air with his cowboy boots on his feet. Amen. Straight up in the air, talking in a heavenly language. Praise God. The Holy Ghost came down. Ben Horton got the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Greg, hey, that quiet feller. Amen. Glory to God. Got on fire for God. Amen. The school troublemakers at that time, amen, got saved during that revival meeting. There was Stuart, and there was Brian, and there was Tater, and there was Anthony. Amen. And there were others. Amen. Most part are already backslidden now. But God can change that too. Hallelujah. As long as there's breath, there's hope. Praise God. Keep praying for Melody. Keep praying for Stuart. Hold on to God for your children. Somebody say amen. Amen. There was a great God. Come on here. There was a Horton family. Amen. There was Teresa. Amen. And Melody and Angie and Jamie. And the platform was full of Holy Ghost filled. Amen. Young people that were singing for the glory of God. Amen. I know. I pay
painted you a bad picture earlier, but I want to hear what the finality of the thing is. Amen. We're still living and serving a God that's still on the throne, and prayer changes things. And if God gave us such a revival in 1995, he can do it again in 2009 if my people who are called by my name shall pray. Woo! Woo! It's still real. It's still real. This Bible is still right. Hey man, Zane, I'm looking for you to get the Holy Ghost. Praise God, you need the Holy Ghost, son. Woo! I feel God moving in this place this morning. Amen. I'd like to see 25 get saved and pray through in an altar prayer and repent of their sins. Amen. Some of you precious young people that's got cold in your soul. Amen. And it's been a long time since you worshiped and shouted and praised God. Amen. God, do it again. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Amen. This may be the last generation. And if it is, God, give us a revival in our church. We are so eat up. I'm getting ready to come pray. We are so eat up with bitterness and ill feelings and hurts. Amen. Until we can't even seek God. Amen. I'm preaching to y'all this morning. I didn't quit teaching. I'm preaching to you. Amen. If you ever expect to go to heaven, amen, you're going to have to get rid of that trash that's in your heart. It may not be pornography. It may not be shorts. It may not be drugs. It may not be a bottle of wine. But you got things in your heart that is just destructive and will send you to hell just as quick, amen, as a bottle of liquor will. And if you don't get it fixed, amen, you'll lose that but God and die and go to hell. Could this be the last generation? Lift your hands and worship the Lord this morning. Ah, sweet Holy Ghost, move over this congregation. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then and only then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We got to have a revival. We can't afford to wait another 5 years for revival. We'll have precious, precious young people and souls that gets out of this church and die and go to hell before another 5 years. Does anybody want to pray this morning? Anybody have a desire to pray? Oh, God. This is the last generation in American culture. And we've got to have a move of God among our people. Glory.